I want to encourage you to do something this week. We got the Chautauqua Festival going on this week. I want to encourage you to go out and support what's going on. But I want you to ask you to go out and do it in such a way that people know your church folks. It's an opportunity. They're right here behind us all week. Plenty of free concerts, plenty of free things to go and do and interact with folks. And so I would encourage you to support this. It's been a couple of years, I think, since we've had a full festival, because I think last year was kind of concise. But go out and support it, but let others know by the way that you interact with folks and by the way that you share with folks that you're a Christian, because it's an opportunity that we can show them that in a setting where it's just comfortable. And I would like to also encourage you, if you can come at 2 o'clock this afternoon, Natalie Drummond, who is the pastor of West End Methodist Church, is singing. My understanding was that was her first career, is a singer. So I'm looking forward to come and listen to her, because I have heard from people at her church that she is absolutely gifted and wonderful singer. And that's at 2 o'clock today back here, I think, at the smaller pavilion, not on the main stage. So I'm looking forward to listening to her and just experiencing that, because I have heard a number of folks from her church tell me how wonderful she is. She's a good pastor, and I appreciate her as a pastor and working with her in this community. Well, today I'm going to be reading from Genesis, the 18th chapter. I made some references to it last week, and we're going to look at Genesis 18, verses 1 through 15. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so that you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seelahs of of finest flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he came to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. Then he brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son.'" Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." And he said, "Yes, you did laugh." First thing I want you to realize as we look at this is that we know something that they don't know in the story. We know something that they don't know. Abraham has an inkling. Right at the very beginning of this, what does it say? It says that the Lord came to Abraham. And right at the end, it says that the Lord asked, is anything too hard for the Lord? And the Lord asked, why did Sarah laugh? You see, they don't know who these visitors are for sure. Abraham knows that they're important folks. Some will interpret this to say that this is the Lord and two angels. Some will interpret it to say this is Christ and two angels. I wonder if it's not God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All who have come to visit with Abraham. Abraham recognizes them as people worthy of worship, worthy of respect, and he says, come, come, let me get some water so that you can wash your feet. Come, sit down and stay a while. I'll get Sarah to make some bread and I'll have a calf roasted and you can eat before you move on. You see, hospitality in the Middle East and down through the Rift Valley into Africa is a very, very important concept. When guests come, when visitors come, when strangers come, hospitality is most important. I remember that from my time in Africa. There was one time that we were at one place and a gentleman asked, he said, would you guys like some coffee? And no, I'm fine. He said, well, how about some soda? And I said, well, okay, that'd be okay. Because we knew with their hospitality idea, we should accept something. He looked at us and he said, I'll be right back. He walked to the store, bought soda and some muffins for us, and came back. Because he didn't have any. And we told him that's what we wanted, was soda. Absolutely shocking to us. For three of us, he comes in and sets 2 liters of soda on the table, and he says, when we finish this, then I'll take you back to where you're staying. I'm like, I didn't sign up for helping to drink 2 liters of soda. Hospitality is incredibly important. In the culture of Abraham, incredibly important. These men appear to be whoever they are. He didn't ask them who they were. I must respect them. I must prepare a meal for them. I must have things ready for them. And they accepted that. By the way, I guess, Susan, you found it the same way when you were in Africa. Everywhere you went, they had to feed you. It didn't matter if you just finished a full meal. Now you got to eat again when you go to somebody else's house. And by the way, I learned very quickly, here's how hospitality works in that world. If you clean your plate off, it means you need another full plate of food. And if you clean the second plate off, it means you need another full plate of food. So I very quickly learned, leave something on the plate. You see, we're taught here to do what? Clean your plate. Over there, they're taught if you clean the plate, you need more. That was quite shocking the first supper I sat down with a family. Because I'm like, you just filled my plate up twice. I don't think you could keep up. I know how Zach likes to eat. I don't think you could keep up. Hospitality, that idea. And that's what Abraham is doing here and instructing Sarah to help out with. You see, here in this passage is the heart's desire of a couple who believe that their day has passed. Right here in the midst of this passage. They believe that their day has passed. Forever now, they have wanted a son. They have wanted a child. And they believe that their day is past. That's been their heart's desire. And they believe that it's gone. And these messengers, or the Lord, have come to give them a message to say it has not passed and it is going to happen. This passage asks a question. When God says it will happen, do you believe God? When God says it will happen, do you believe God? That's what's going on in this passage. The Lord comes to Abraham and says, when I come back next year at this time, Sarah will have a child. Now, Sarah's in the tent. I'm not going to classify her as eavesdropping, being nosy. I'm going to classify her as she's curious. What have these men come for? Come on, you would be curious too. And you would not like it if I called it eavesdropping. Because you're curious. What have they come for? Why are they here? They're pretty impressive looking. They're pretty... What's going on? What's happening? So when Sarah hears this, you're going to have a baby. She's laughing. Really? I'm past childbearing age and I'm going to have a baby? And do they understand how old Abraham is? Now, for all you guys that are getting ready to jump on the women for not believing because they're laughing, I'm going to take you back to the previous chapter. Because here's what happens in the previous chapter. Verse 17 of chapter 17 says that Abraham's rolling on the floor laughing when he's told. Listen to what this says. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your promise. Ishmael, a son that he's had by Sarah's handmaiden. If only. But doesn't it say that Abraham's rolling on the floor laughing? He falls down on the ground and he's laughing. I don't think they knew how to abbreviate that in the Bible. Okay, for those of you that text, you may know how to abbreviate that. And if you don't, you can ask the younger folks and they'll tell you how to abbreviate that. So now that you guys are thinking about that part, don't jump on Sarah because she laughs. Because Abraham's already done the same in a more dramatic way. They both have laughed when God says it will be done. It will happen. What about you? When God says it will happen, what's your response? How do you respond when God says, I can do that? I don't know if you guys kept up with the song. Can he? Could he? Would he? He did. Is what it says. God did. Can God? I mean, this is kind of a loaded question, isn't it? Because if I answer, no, God can't do that, now I have limited the God I serve. I have limited, no, God can't do that. I've limited God. Now God is not the all-powerful one because I've said there are things that God can't do. Can God change the heart of a beach bum? Yes. It happened. And I stand here as proof of that. Can God do what God says God's going to do? Do you believe that when God does that? Because you see, both Abraham and Sarah, their first response was to laugh and then to dismiss a possibility. The first response of both Abraham and Sarah is to laugh and to dismiss a possibility. Think of all the stories that you know in the Bible. Jonah didn't want to go preach because God would show mercy. Did God show mercy? Yes. The whole town of Nineveh was saved. The widow who has her son being carried on a bier has lost her only son. And Jesus walks up and raises him from the dead. Lazarus dies, has been in the tomb for 3 days, and 3 days is important because after 3 days, Hebrew thought was the spirit of a person's no longer anywhere near the body. Anytime in those 3 days, the spirit is there and the spirit can reanimate the body, was the belief. Lazarus has been in the tomb 3 days. What does his sister say when Jesus says, "Open the tomb"? "Oh, it smells in there, Lord. Please don't open the tomb." And he says, "No, do it." And Lazarus walks out. Think about all the incredible stories that, remember what I said last week? Sometimes the faith, the belief part of faith, requires us to suspend rational thought. Because at 90 years old, what's the chances really of Sarah becoming pregnant and having a child biologically? 0 to none. At least that's what most of you hope. They're getting close to that age, right? Because none of us would sign up to have a child at 90 or 100 years old. I don't think I would. I love my grandchildren. I love those little kids running around. I love Alyssa and Zach's son running around the yard and picking on him since they live next door to him. I love that. But I don't think I'd sign up to grow one my own. Not even now. It's great to be grandparents, isn't it? It is really, really great to be grandparents because I can feed them all the candy and cookies I want and send them home. That's perfectly legal, isn't it? Amen. Perfectly legal. Would we not have laughed in the same situation? Would we not have said, "Really? Come on, Lord. Not possible. You've got to be kidding. This is not going to be reality." Well, let me take this one step further then. This church is in the process of rebuilding. We've lost a lot of members. We've lost a lot of people due to COVID. They've got out of the habit of coming. Whatever is the answer. And I really don't think we need to figure out the answer, by the way. I really don't. But here's what I want to ask you. When God says, "I can use you to rebuild this church," what's your response? When God says, "I can use you to rebuild this church," what's your response?
Are you sure?
Are you sure? Would some of you possibly laugh? Would some of you say, "You know how old I am, Lord? I done did that already. It's somebody else's turn to do it." Isn't that what some people say in the church? It's time for the younger folks to take over. And that's why we love to say that younger folks are the future of the church. But are we teaching them? Are we helping them? Are we being part of the process? The way I understand Scripture, we are the body of Christ. And all of us make up that body. And all of us have different gifts and talents and skills. And when we bring all those things together, working in unison, working together cooperatively, the church builds. Amen? So when God comes to you and says, I've given you this gift, and I'm going to use you to rebuild the church, what's your response? When God says, I've given you the Holy Spirit to empower you, to guide you, to strengthen you, to help you, to encourage you, to show you how to use the gifts and skills and talents that I've given you so I can rebuild the church, what's your response? Are you with Sarah in the tent laughing? Are you with Abraham rolling on the floor laughing? Are you saying, no way, it can't be done? You see, I have a much different view than most folks. I know. There is nowhere in the Bible that I can find that talks about retirement from the community of God. Nowhere. That's a secular idea. That's not a biblical idea. There is nowhere in the Bible that says you get to retire from the community of God. I done did it and it's somebody else's turn. If you're alive, you're still part of the community of God that needs to work together to bring this cooperatively. Now, some might say to me, well, I'm homebound. I can't come. I can't do this. I can't do that. Do you realize we need people praying all the time? That the work of the church will grow and expand and reach people? Those prayers are most effective. Those prayers are most important. I've been part of retreat weekends when every time I speak on a retreat weekend, there's at least 2 to 3 to 4 people sitting in the chapel praying for me while I speak. Are those people sitting in the chapel important? Most definitely. I have felt their prayers as I preached, as I shared, as I taught. I have felt that knowing because I went to the chapel first and they laid hands on me and prayed over me before I showed up to speak. And then when I finished speaking, I went back to the chapel and they laid hands on me again to pray that the people that heard the words that I shared would be changed and transformed and affected by God's love. That is powerful. So if you say, well, I can't do that anymore, I have some jobs that you can do. No matter your stage in life. I know there's nobody here that wants to claim that they're old. Okay? At least that's the way I've met, especially women. I can highly offend women by asking them how old they are. One, because none of them want to admit how old they are. I don't care anymore. I just don't care. I made it this long. I'm going to tell you how old I am. For those of you that are wondering that haven't heard me say it, I'm 61. And I've met some people that don't believe that. I never expect to retire from being part of God's kingdom. I may retire as a pastor. The hope is there someday, but I don't think so. I really don't. But I'll always be part of the kingdom of God, trying to find my place in the kingdom of God, doing what needs to be done to help the body grow together. So when God says to you, I can use you to rebuild the church, what's your response? Because I'm going to very boldly say this statement. God can use every person listening to this message to rebuild this church. God can use every person listening to this message to rebuild this church. Whether you're here and present today, or whether you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube later today, or later this week, or later this month, God can use every person listening to this message. You have a place. You have a part. But the question is, what's your response? Will you choose to believe God for the role God has for you? Will you choose to believe God for the role God has for you? That's your choice. That is fully and completely your choice. And you can go through all of life never accepting what God wants you to do in the kingdom of God. You can even be saved and refused to play into the role that God has prepared for you. Here's what I'm going to tell you, though. You're going to miss out. You're going to miss out. I have never had more fun in my life than living into God asking me to be a teacher, pastor. I've never had more fun. Never seen more blessings. And you know what happens if I choose not to live into my role? Other people miss out on blessings too. In effect, if I don't live into the role that God has for me, I'm stealing other people's blessings. So when God asks you to take a part in the community of God and you laugh, or you say that's not possible, it can't happen, you say I don't think so, you pick the wrong person, you're not only losing out on blessings, but you're stealing blessings from other people. Because they will never receive the blessings that would come about because you were actively involved in rebuilding or building the kingdom of God. So I ask you, do you choose to believe God? Because God's inviting you to a role in the kingdom of God. Do you choose to believe God in that? And will you do it? Let's pray. Lord, it's not an easy thing to be part of your kingdom. Because you ask us to do incredible things. And sometimes because of what's happened to us in life, we're convinced that none of those things are possible. We see in this story a couple who have always wanted a child, who have always wanted to raise a child and to have a child to live on their legacy, dismissing the fact that there's a possibility, dismissing in one way, Lord, that you could do it. And so, Lord, as we look at this story and we try to find our place in the story, it's easy for us to realize that you've asked us to be a part of your kingdom. You've asked us to be part of this church here, in this community of believers. And I guess we come to the question to ask ourselves, do we believe what you said? And are we going to live into our place, our role, our part in this community of believers? Lord, help us to search our hearts and to know the answer to that question, that we might come to a place where we can see this church once again filled with believers reaching out to bring more people to Christ. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.